Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Good morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. This being the last Sunday of the month, we will have our fellowship luncheon after this service, and all are invited to join in good fellowship and good food. You'll note in your bulletin that our 2 p.m. service at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon will be the final activity of the day, and all are invited to attend that service. Our brother Greg Tomlinson will be preaching at that service. On New Year's Eve, Tuesday, December 31st, we will have a potluck dinner and a service to bring in the new year starting at 8 p.m. Everyone is invited to this celebration right here in the church building. Please note in your bulletin insert that our Wednesday evening service on January 1st is canceled. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Let us begin our worship now with the singing of hymn number 1, O Worship the King. Continue our worship with hymn number 27, I Sing the Mighty Power of God, the first and last stanzas.
Spread love, Lord, we seize your God and give God.
as we sing hymn number 39, This Is My Father's World, the first and last stanzas.
This morning on the very last Sunday of the month of December. And I was looking in the records, and our church have held for 20 years 1,515 services here in the morning service, and we thank the Lord for the opportunity to be on the air. And once again, I want to thank you for your faithfulness to the ministry of Bethel. Look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to the conclusion of a new year. And as the Bible instructed us over and over again, we go out of one year into another with joy. And we pray that this morning you will help us to see a guideline in your scripture and how to do so again. Going out of a year of struggles and difficulties, and maybe hard moments, into another year, which we don't know what is ahead of us. But we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength, said the Bible. And we will go out of one year into another, not with regrets, but with the joy of the Lord. Father, we are grateful for your faithfulness. We are grateful for your provision, that you have kept this church with all the projects of the church afloat. We are grateful for your people who are sensitive to the ministry and have gave liberally and with all their heart. And as a pastor, I'm encouraged by their support. And now, Father, as we look forward to another year, we look forward to add more missionaries into our rosters of missionaries, so that we can have more people expanding the gospel with the purpose that Christ Jesus may return one day. As the Bible instructed, that when the last believer will come in, then the trumpet will sound and the glorious Savior will come for his church, his glorious church. We are grateful, Lord, that your church is no temporary, it's a permanent thing. And we are grateful that one day we will be with you forever in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for those who have participated through the year and those who have stepped in and helped the ministry here at Bethel. And we are grateful that you, the Holy Spirit, have encouraged them to do so according to their gift. We are very, very grateful. Lord, every Wednesday we have prayed and cried for those who have needs of work. And today we are grateful for your response to them. For the Noriels and Lester and Jovi, even for temporary jobs, we are grateful, Father. We are grateful that you add into our life things that we do not deserve. We live in very comfortable homes, We drive very comfortable cars. We live in a country who is the number one in the world. But Father, with all these facilities, it is easier to forget that you are the number one and that you want to be number one in our life. And so help us to live away, leave all these things that we possess away from our mind that these are the priority, but rather that the things that you gave us are the means to accomplish the priority of broadcasting Jesus Christ, whether in radio, whether in church, whether in any ministry you have given us the gift, even passing a track, will be a great ministry, Lord. And help us to see that that's the priority. Help the young people to see that, yes, they have to study. Yes, they have to accomplish things in life. Another year will go by and many will graduate and so on. But all have one purpose in life for the Christian, to be a greater witness for Jesus, our Lord, till he come. Thank you, Father, for the choir who faithfully rehearse the songs and they sing with a heart. And thank you, Lord, for our Bible reading man who reads the Bible so faithfully, our brother Plika. And we pray your blessings upon the service. And Lord, help me again to step away from the glory of Christ. And may today's sermon shows the counsel of thy word alone. Bless the offering again and bless the giver. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Would you please take your Bibles now, if you will, and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verses 5 through 13. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 437. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 5 through 13. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Blessed is God's word. Let us pray together. Our Father, we come again into your presence because of your mercy in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to be our substitute, bearing our sins in his body, and paying the terrible price for our redemption on the cross. We thank you for this great gospel and great salvation, which is ours by faith. We thank you for that gift of faith, that we know your word is true and forever settled in heaven, and will accomplish whatever you please. We thank you that you have not left us to perish in the ignorance of our sins, our self-righteousness, but have pardoned us for Christ's sake. We pray now for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, that you would bless him in his words as he comes to bring the message from Isaiah. We pray for understanding, that we may live according to your word and turn away from that which is not pleasing to you. We pray for those listening who do not know you and the joy of your salvation, that they may come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and gain eternal life. May Jesus be glorified in this service. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. And just before bringing to you the last sermon on the month of December, I want to express to you that there are some two news important. The Sunday school hour, the study hour, will start at the beginning of the year, a new studies on the book of Joshua, and every teacher have the material now for 2 months, and you will be excited to study a book of conquests of Israel on the basis of the promises of God. And then also to those who could be here on the New Year's Eve, we will have the New Year's Eve celebration. Starts at potluck dinner at 8 o'clock and ends at 12 midnight with the Lord's Supper. And it has been a great close family relationship as we approach the New Year in prayer, usually at the moment of 12 midnight. So you are invited, if you could come, make your way here. If you can open your eyes at 12 midnight, that would be okay to be here. All right, and looks like one of my microphones are off, so I will, they're disconnected completely. All right, be patient, and now how that sounds, is that all right? Okay, so those in the radio that hear me, I guess through the other microphone, now we are connected. Now today, I'd like you to turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 55. And I'm going to take a sentence out of Isaiah 55, verse 12. And that's in page 437. And I'm going to mention the page number for those who use the Pew Bible and want to quickly go over there so that you become familiar with the passage. Isaiah writes to Israel, who is under, at this moment, the suppression of the great Chaldean Empire. In Nebuchadnezzar, if you have read Lamentations, you know the geography and you know the historical event. Nebuchadnezzar has flooded the entire Jerusalem area. The trees are cut down. And Israel said Lamentation has become a desert. And for those elderly people there in the Chaldean Empire, there was a cry in their heart. And then Isaiah said, in Isaiah 55, verse 12, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. For thee, ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And I have a $4 million question for you. Where do you go from out? And that's my thinking today. Where do you go from out? In 2 or 3 days, we will go from the year 2002 to the year 2003. Where do you go from out? Now, some of you study in college, and do you remember when you walk across the stage and they handle your diploma? Now, where do you go out? Where do you go from out? I remember coming home with my diploma of engineer and handed it to my father and said, here it is. And my father put it in a drawer and said, now you go out to work. That was my father's expression. In other persons, the spouse is no longer with you, perhaps by death, perhaps by divorce. And now you do not have that relationship any longer. Where do you go from out? In others, you were working along well, and out of nowhere, you will handle a check and a goodbye note. After 20 or perhaps 30 years, you find yourself out. Where do you go from out? Sometimes we have all our plans work out to the T, with goals clearly defined, and everything was going well and great. Then we feel unexpected pain. A doctor's call and they tell you have cancer. Now what? Where do you go from out? Sometimes you are in business. You thought you knew the market well, but something happened and what you thought would be profitable rather requires more investment, and in a year you are out. Where do you go from out? What kind of attitude should we have as believers under such circumstances? Well, you can go out with bitterness. You can go out with anger.
self-pity, jealousy. For those people who are still in and they are doing well. Isaiah said to Israel, who lost everything, their city, their work, their family, their history, and their tradition. You know, for us, Latin tradition is very important. Means roots. And Israel is a nation with roots. And they lost everything. And Isaiah said, you, and a great prophecy, you shall go out with joy. That's my counsel for you today in 2002, at the steps of 2003. Family of God, let's go out with joy into 2003. You know, I thought about this. The time will come when I will put my feet in bed for the last time, and some people will pull me out. But I tell you one thing. I will go out of this world with joy. Now, we need some guidelines, some helps from health into sickness, maybe from life to death, maybe from work to retirement, maybe from marriage to singleness, maybe from success to failure, whatever it may be, you can be sure that it's possible to go out with joy. And so I'm going to give you at least four guidelines that we should have at the end, at the edge of a year, so that we put them in a little 3x5 car and we remember them so that we can go out with joy and face the new year. A nice guideline. Guideline number one. Very important. When you go to school and the teacher give you a guideline, the number one is the one you really need to look on it. That's the guideline you need to fulfill. I write 10 things to do in a day, but I know that I'm going to do number one. I don't know if I cannot get to number two, but I'm going to get number one done. And so here are the guidelines for the new year to go out with joy. Guideline number one for all of us, have a fixed frame of reference. Have a fixed frame of reference. That reference is unmovable. And nobody can have a better frame of reference than the Bible. Have a fixed frame of reference. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible to the book of Psalms 119, page 379. Psalm 119. If you're going to go out of the year 2002... to the year 2003, I will ask you to write guideline number one, my fixed frame of reference for the year 2003 is going to be the Bible. And the author of Psalm 119, who nobody knows who is it, and everybody guesses, and the best guess is Ezra, the scribe, because every 4 or 5 verses start with a new letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the only man they know in the Bible that can do that, there was a skill in the Hebrew language, was Ezra, but we don't know, just a guessing. They said the microphone is out of business, all right? I guess God is telling me, guideline number one, hold your microphone in your hands. All right, here what it is. Psalm 119, let me show you. Verse 1, you see in your Bible say Aleph, is because the first word to the right who start the paragraph is the first letter A of the alphabet. Blessed are those whose walk are blameless. That's the word undefiled in the King James, blameless. Who walk in the law of the Lord. Who walk in the law of the Lord. In Psalm 119, the word law is equivalent to the Bible. Blessed are they. Have a fixed frame of reference. When you're going to do something in 2003, you should ask yourself within your heart, what does the Bible say about this? That's to have a reference. Then look in verse 24, same psalm. We go a few verses. Verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. Wow. The word of God is the counselor to the writer. Thy testimonies are my delight. They are my counselor. Look in verse 28. My soul weeps. That's the King James, melted for heaviness. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to what? To thy word. Sometimes we pray for strength. Which is equally to according to thy will. You know what I'm going to do, guys in the back? I'm going to take this out, and you help me. I promise not to move from the pulpit, and you just use the pulpit microphone, which is a very expensive one donated by the Noriels, and it is just a good one, all right? So use the pulpit one, and tell Brother Cassandra we're going to buy another one. All right, here it is. All right, here is what it is. Verse 24, the Bible is their counselor. Verse 28, strengthen me according to thy word. Verse 41, look at verse 41. May thy mercies come to me, O Lord, thy salvation according to what? To thy word, not to any church program or to any invention of mankind, but to thy word. And if maybe you are not saved, and you are looking for, what is this Jesus about this? Somebody told me, what is this Jesus that somebody have mentioned to me? What is this Jesus that I read in the Bible? Well, if you're going to be saved, it's going to be according to thy word. And we know the text that thy word produces faith. That's why. Verse 71, please. Move another page to 71. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. Look at that. You know, when we get affliction, we usually panic. And we usually cry for the Lord to remove it. But look at the counsel. It is good for me that I was afflicted. Why? So I may learn thy statutes. I tell you, when we are afflicted, we pray more and we read more of the Bible. And sometimes when we are out of framework, then God gives us some little afflictions, a little affliction. So we go back to the Bible and we go back to prayer. And so the author of the psalm said, it is good that that happened to me. So framework number one, the framework number one is the Bible. And I'm going to, I was in Costco. Many of you know what Costco is in America. Is somebody, at least I mean, in some other part of the world, maybe don't know. It's a cheap store. You can buy things cheap. Sometimes you fool yourself, you pay more. But this is what it is. It's a store you go by, and I leave my wife alone, and I go to the book section. You find me always in two stores, in the book section and the shoe section. Because I like to have shoes every day and forget. All right, here's what it is. In the book section, there was an antique book on prayer and on the psalm. And my wife said, another Bible. You know, I don't know how many Bibles I buy. No, this is good. Big letters. Now that I'm old. And, you know, I look on it. They have all the book of Proverbs. We want to do this long time ago with Brother McCormick. Get the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalm together and bind it and have a book like that. And I found it. It's a hardcover, beautiful. And you know what I do for practice? I go to the gym first. I go to the coffee shop and then I come here. And I open, if today will be 29, I open Proverbs 29. And I read it. Just in a clean Bible with no marks or anything. I read it and let God bless me. And then after I read it, I just kneel down and pray. Now that's a framework. And every day I get a thought from God's word that will help me that day. A framework. A framework. Use the Bible as a manual to help you to live.
If you plan to disobey your parents today, children, read Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, apokuo your parents. Obey your parents as a soldier, obey a sergeant. You know, when they're marching and the sergeant said, left, the soldier don't say, well, today we do it right. No, they do it left. Simple like that. Children, obey your parents. Parents, do you not provoke your children to wrath? So think before you talk to your children that what are you going to say is going to provoke them or is going to challenge them? See, the Bible is tomorrow's newspaper. The Bible is tomorrow's newspaper. It is good. It is wonderful. It's a framework for your life. Don't look in any other book for framework. You go to the Christian bookstore and how to raise your children, how to do these. A library of man's writing, which may be good, but the best is still the Bible. And the reason why people don't know it is simple. They do not read it. And they do not read it often. I mean often, repeatedly, over and over and over and over again, the same passage is going to speak to you. Just do it. But don't do it like that. Oh, I'm going to study this. No. We pastors trying to do that. When we study, we got a pencil and we're going to see. No. You know who told me that? Dr. Billy Graham. I asked him in South Carolina in the year 1998. I asked him, I said, Dr. Graham, what kept you pure before the world? And he said, I read the Bible, Gabriel, every day, the book of Proverbs. If today is 10, I read the 10th chapter. And I get a new Bible every year, so it's fresh. And I read it, and I let the Bible permeate my heart. Boy, the Bible and the mercy of God and the grace of God can change our life, don't we? So have a fixed promise yourself. Lord, I'm going to get a very new Bible, simple Bible. I'm going to read it. Whatever you got. You got a King James, a New American Standard, Super Standard, whatever translation you want to. Just read the Bible that you understand and you are willing to obey. And that will help you. A fixed reference. Number two, guideline number two. Have faith in God. Turn your Bible to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 22, page 592. Have faith in God. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 22, and page 592. Have faith in God. Look at what Jesus said to the disciples. You know, the story is that a year before Jesus was there and he said to a fig tree, if you have no fruit, you will dry out. And they come by a year later and the fig tree was dry. And then Jesus, the disciples said, Lord, whatever you said last year happened. And look at what he says. Jesus said in Mark 14:27, but immediately Jesus said in Mark 11:22, excuse me, and Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. You know, somebody said, how big is your faith? And it's simple like this. My faith is big as the object in which I put my faith. Even if God is that big, have faith in God. A God who told Sarah, remember? She said Sarah was 90 years old and said, Sarah, you're going to have a baby. I don't know for what reason I have bad dreams. I had the two girls sleeping in front of me this week and so on. And I kind of sleep. I have a special medicine. I have bad dreams. And I have a dream that Miss Noriel have a baby. And I would wake up, you know, I'd say, wow, wake up, you know. And I said, okay, bro, you're really bad. But imagine Sarah 90. 90. And God said to Sarah, you're going to have a baby. Me a baby? Poor Abraham, he's 99. He said, God, are you sure? You're going to have a baby. Remember that she laughed? She's going to have a baby. And God said, is anything impossible for God? You go to Genesis 17, 18, and you read it. Is anything impossible for God? Now, how big is my faith? How big my faith has to be? Well, let me give you one example. Let's go to Matthew's Gospel, In chapter 14 and in verse 27, I think it's page 571. And remember the story where the disciples are on the Sea of Galilee ahead of Jesus. And then Jesus said, I reach them. And he started walking on the sea. See, he is God. He completely moves away from natural law. And in verse 27 of Matthew 14, Jesus spoke to the disciples. See, they were saying it was cloudy, it was foggy, you know. And they were saying, who's that? You see that white thing coming up? What is that? They were really afraid. And Jesus said, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Now, they're supposed to recognize his voice. If your wife talked to you, man, and said, darling, you know, it's she. But for some reason, they don't recognize. And verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Wow. They knew Jesus. Peter knew Jesus. Some people say, oh, Peter was a different man before Pentecost. He knew Jesus. I tell you, don't fool around. He knew Jesus. If you say it, Lord, I will do it. Now, look at verse 29. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Stop reading there. You know the rest of the story. But what I want to tell you is this. Have faith in God. And if you have faith in God, and when God's word says something to you, and you do what God said, don't look to the right, don't look to the left. Just keep on looking to God's word, and you're going to be floating on the water. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. 20 years ago, this pastor who now is with the Lord told me this. You cannot have a church in Morgan Hill. You will never have it. And I told him in a restaurant, you are quite right. Thank you very much. I was planning to build a church, and now I quit. So you're going to move? No, I'm going to let God build it. You're right. Have a frame of reference which fits. There is no better than the Bible. Have faith in God. There is no better counselor than God. Guideline number three, have a secure future. Everybody is looking to the market to see how the investment will go. Let me counsel you, have a secure future. Turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, page 701. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, have a secure future. Paul says to his disciple Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 12. He said, for this reason I also suffer the things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard or to keep what I have entrusted him until that day. I know whom I have believed, and I know where I put my face, and I know that this is going to be so until the coming of the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:12. I know that this is so. I have trusted God, and I have put my faith in Christ, and I know that whatever I do will not jeopardize the security of my place in heaven. Now, that's the salvation of God. That's future. I will sin. I will err. I will make mistakes. I will do a mess of my life. But nothing can take away my soul from the hands of a living God. That's what I respect all Christians. Because they are safe in the hands of God. That's what I respect them. They may be wrong. They may be in sin. But one thing is good in every Christian. Your soul is in the hands of a living God who nothing can change him. Because I'm God, said Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I change not. Once God made his mind you, and you became saved by the enlightening of the Holy Spirit, and by your faith in Christ, once you have been saved, you are saved forevermore. Because God saved you, and no man. Now that's future. There is another verse who say the same thing, Philippians 1 and verse 6. If you turn your Bible to Philippians 1 and verse 6, you find the same thing. Wonderful. Future. Philippians 1 verse 6. For I am confident of these very things, said the apostle. Philippians 1 6. That he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. You know what the day of Christ Jesus is? It's just his coming. If God has begun the good work, God has saved you, Philippians 1 verse 6, if God has begun the good work in you, even though you maybe do not grow too much in the gospel, even though you remain like a baby in the things of God, because God saved and he has begun the restoration of your life, you, say the scripture here, you will be perfect in the day of Christ, and God will see the work of Christ in your soul. Have a secure future. Not in the market that one day is up and one day is down. Not in your work that one day you have it and the next day is gone. Not in your health that one day you run, 10 miles in 20 minutes and then the next day you can walk on it. Put your future where they belong to, in the hands of a mighty God. Guideline number 4. Have a friend you can count of. Have a friend you can count of. Each time I read this scripture, I tremble. It's in James 2. And in verse 23, page 712. James 2 and verse 23, page 712. Each time I read this scripture, it still goes like a chill on me. And the scripture, say James, which was fulfilled, which it says, and Abraham believed God. Remember that Genesis, beautiful chapter 22? And Abraham believed God and was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, I want to be clear as can be. God did not believe for Abraham. Is that right? Abraham believed God, said the scripture. He believed God. And the faith that God gave him was counted for righteousness. But I want to make a point in the last part of the verse. And he was called, listen to this, the friend of God. Is that no impression? Imagine. When I came to America in 65, we had to stop. Planes were not directly. They don't have the technology to fly directly all the way through. So they stopped in Mexico. And we changed to Western Airlines. We had to stay on the night in Mexico. We have 5 luggage. We came to the north, so we brought wool and all kinds of. We thought that this was 20 below zero here. Because, you know, you are on the north. See, and we were way on the south, so we brought every wool clothing, so 5 luggages were things. Mama brought all the things for the bed and so on, and we lost 2 precious luggage. We got to the hotel, so sorry. Now, happened to be, Hotel El Plano was, we were in floor 4, and floor 5 was the American ambassador. As soon as I saw that, I called the company and I said, well, I feel so sorry you lost my luggage. I want to tell my friend, the ambassador of the United States, who is in the next floor, what happened. He said, don't worry about it. We'll call you back. 1 hour later, he said, your luggage is in such and such a street and it's going to come to you right there. When? Tomorrow morning. I said, I don't know if I can wait. Well, yes, tomorrow morning, for sure. Don't talk to anybody. My friend, the ambassador of the United States. I don't know who was the ambassador. But I saw the United States Embassy and where the guards were there. And I asked them, who lives here? The ambassador. Oh, thank you very much. It's good to know. Because my friend was very high, the luggage untouched. We opened the luggage, nothing was removed. Have a good friend. Who was Abraham's friend? He was called the friend of God. Have a friend you can count on. That when that friend knows that you are not that perfect man that he thought of, he's still loving you. Now, who will be? Well, let's find out if you can have this friend that I have. John 15, 15, page 634. John 15, 15. A wonderful friend. John 15, 15. Jesus talked to the disciples. And look at what he says. He says, no longer do I call you slaves or servants. For the slaves or servants does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. Wow. Wow. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You are my friend, Jesus said to the disciples. You're my friend. You mean that Jesus is a friend of Peter who denied him? Well, let me show you. Go to chapter 13 and verse 1 and see how much Jesus loved his disciples. Was his love conditional? Look at John 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, says the scripture, Jesus, knowing that his hour has come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. You like a friend like that? That will love you in good and in bad. It's good to know some friends like this on this earth too. I have one. It's good to know. It's good to know. It's like when I play soccer as a goalie, when you play, there is an arch over there. And when I was tired, I lean on the post. It's good to have something strong where to lean on it. And I tell you, it's good to have a friend like that. You can go to him with the frustrations of your life. You can go to him with the desperation of your life. And he understands. Remember my sermon the other day? He understands you. He's been here. Hebrews said that he suffered like us, but he was sinless. And so he understands. So let's review these guidelines for the year. And I want to tell you my proposition. And you and your home, write. And young people, I'll give you an assignment that I never will check on it. Here's the assignment for all the young people. Take a 3x5 card. Ask your mommy, buy me a 3x5 card. And right over there, how are you going to get out of this year with joy? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and you write your own. Don't never show it to me until the coming year, all right? Guideline number one, have a Bible as your frame of reference. Have the Bible as your frame of reference. You know, a pilot has a book. You saw those pilots that carry a little thing over there with a book? That is not a telephone book. That's a book to fly, according to the plane. And that book is the rule for his life. He has to follow the regulations and the rules of that book and the proceedings of taking off the plane. And he has to confirm to the tower that he have acknowledged that the plane is in conformity to the rules of the book. That's the law of the United States of America before he flies. Before you fly the day out of your home, check your book and know where to fly that day with that book. All right? Guideline number two, have faith in God. If God say it, I will have no doubt about it. If God say it, I will have no doubt about it. That's it. You know, one of the things beautiful in life is marriage. And marriage is forever, said the Bible. Just believe God, forever. He said, well, I'm not happy. Well, ask everybody who is married how many times they were happy. Okay? And see, marriage is not about happiness. Marriage is about commitment. Commitment to one another and the fear of God. That's where it's so much divorce in people who are not believing. Unfortunately, sometimes divorce comes into the family of God. Unfortunately.
Have faith in God.
Have a secure future. Yes, it's good to study, young people. Yeah, you go and be all engineers. You're going to be ahead. All right? And some of you will be accountants. Some of you will be garbage collectors in New York at a very high price. Who knows what you're going to be? But have a future in your mind. But remember that the real future is Christ. The real future. The real future. The real thing is that faith that you have put in Christ. That one day, regardless where you live, regardless the car you drive, regardless who you are, an engineer or a garbage collector, one day you and your soul will be standing before the God of heaven as a saved person, enjoying forever the presence of God. That's future. That is, you don't learn this in the public school. You learn this with your parents. And you learn this in the church of God. But that's the future. Have a friend. Make Jesus your friend. When you pray, you know, it's good to pray reverently, "Oh, thou mighty God." But when I pray here on Sunday morning, or every morning here, when I pray here, say, "Lord, it's me." Social security number, and I tell God my social security number. In case there is another Otero there. And I tell God like this. I tell God my failures. I tell God the thing that I review and I have failed. And I ask him for his strength and for patience with me and for mercy. Have a prayer. Now, I do not know about yourself, but let me tell you about me. I will go out of the year 2002 with joy into the year 2003 as your pastor, because I will go with a sense of empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because I will go with a sense of a call to preach the truth and the gospel till the Lord comes. Because I will go with a sense of the sovereignty of God, that he will do whatever he wants to in the life of people, and he will bring people here, whatever people he wants to, and I do not have to worry about how many people will be here. God will bring those who wants to be here. I will go believing that our ministry is centered in Christ and targeting people. I will go with a full reliance on the Bible as our authority, as an infallible book from God. I will go striving for godliness in private life and in public life. And I will go with all my love and support for the local church that God has created till he comes. And so I will close with one verse. This verse will wrap up the entire sermon. If I will mention that verse in the morning, at the beginning, then you don't have to be here that hour. Hear what it is. It is found in Philippians chapter 3. And it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's a verse that will help you to focus in your life and in the life of those around you. Philippians chapter 3. Look at how gorgeous it is. It's Paul telling the church of Philippi who loves him so much. He's saying this, "Brethren," in verse 13, "I count not myself to have apprehended." I have not reached everything. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for and to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I press to the mark. And so let us go out of the year 2002 into 2003, pressing for the mark that people will see in us a better Christian, a true Christian in our life, and you parents will see in your children a blossom of Christ and the Spirit in them. And we parents will reflect to our children that the patience and the kindness and the joy and the truthfulness of God and the self-control of God, so that the family of God will be exalting the Lord Jesus Christ in the year 2003. Heavenly Father, here we are, your children. Yes, Lord, we will believe Isaiah. We will go out with joy. And then peace will follow. Cause us, O God, to trust you. Cause us, O God, to be sensitive to your word, so that our life can be molded and modified and changed
by the Spirit. And when all things are done, we're going to be able to say, thank you, God, for giving us such a life. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen.
Thank you. Will you stand, please? I have the gospel of the message.